It was so foggy this morning, it took me extra time to get here. I don't know if the fog has cleared. You that come to second service may have that privilege of the fog lifting. But boy, it was foggy this morning. But don't you just love this time of year? This wonderful, this fall season, it's great. Some of you don't, but you didn't say amen, so that's okay. Yesterday, I started singing I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and I thought Cheryl was going to run me out of the house. And I'm not ready for that yet. Turn with me, please, this morning in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8, one more time. I finished this morning on this three-part message series that I've done in Luke chapter 8. We haven't covered the whole chapter, but I want to finish off my time in the pulpit, and then next Sunday, Eddie will be speaking. But I want to talk about this man from the Gadarenes that I referred to last week. If you remember, I started out this little series talking about the parable of the sower and how the Jesus message was designed so that the disciples would be able to receive the good word of the Lord as seed, and it would grow in their hearts. And then the next thing they did was set out on an adventure to the land of the Gadarenes. That was last week. We talked about the winds and the waves, obeying Jesus, and the lesson that the disciples learned because their faith is growing, the seed is growing in their heart as they see the Lord take authority over His creation. As He spoke to the wind and the waves and said, "Be still," and they were still. Well, this morning I want to look at a situation where Jesus takes authority over the demonic powers. It's important to know that God has control of all of His creation, but He also has power over the demon powers as well. That His name is above every other name. Amen? We sang about it this morning. Jesus, what a wonderful name. And it's a powerful name. Many times a child, that'll be the first name they learn. They'll learn that before mama and daddy. My grandson Connor, he's saying papa now before he's saying anything, so I'm second to Jesus. But it's an honor to hear him say his little papa. But that word Jesus is a powerful name. It's not just a word. He is the Son of God. And we'll see that in this story this morning. So I want to talk about the man from the Gadarenes, beginning at verse 26 of Luke chapter 8 this morning. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes. This is where they were headed when the winds and the wave came up of last week's message. This is where they were headed. They were on a journey. Jesus had something that he had to do there. So they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And that's interesting verbiage there because everything about the Gadarenes in that area was opposite of Galilee. Not only geographically, but also spiritually. Everything about it was kind of the opposite. Galilee was a place where the light was shining, it would seem, from the spreading the gospel. The Gadarenes are yet to see that, and it's a dark place. And so everything really is opposite. The attitude of the people toward the miracles of Jesus, etc., etc. Verse 27, and when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man. A certain man. He's been called the demoniac of the Gadarenes. But to my knowledge, this man doesn't have a name. Now, he's got a name, but we don't know that name. I've looked in commentaries. I've looked in a book entitled All the Men of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer, and he doesn't even list him at all. So we don't know that he has a name. We'll deal more with that later. The Bible simply calls him a certain man. He is from the city near there, who had demons for a long time. We don't know how long, but for a long time, he was possessed of demonic powers. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. So here is a man who, for a long time, he has no name that we know of. He has no clothing. He lives in the tombs. He has found an above-ground tomb in a cemetery where he has found a side entrance. Many of the tombs of that time had kind of a side entrance. He's broken in, and he's living among the corpses in that tomb, which is not unusual in backward countries where people are very poor. Even to this day, there are people who make their way to above-ground tombs and will figure a way in so they have a place out of the weather. It's a tragedy. It really is. But this man is there not because he doesn't have a home of his own, but because he is an outcast of society, as we'll see in a moment, because of the way he acts, because of the possession that the demons have over him. So he has no clothes, he wore no clothes, he didn't live in a house, but he lives at the tombs. When he saw Jesus, verse 28, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, and know this, the man's tongue spoke the words, but it was not the man speaking. It was the demons speaking through the man. And they attempt a faux worship or a false worship or an imitation worship. They're not really worshiping Jesus, but they try the worship card to see if they can just get Jesus out of their hair, as it were. Look what they said. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. The demon powers speak through the man as if the man himself is speaking. They make him kneel to the ground to give this illusion of worship. But make no mistake about it, Jesus knows what's going on. Amen? He sees through the facade. He sees through the imitation. For he had commanded, verse 29, the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And this is what the unclean spirit did to this man, or spirits did to this man. Verse 29, it had often seized him. It had often seized him. If you study the Matthew and Mark version of this story, it adds additional information and says not only did it seize him, but it caused him to howl at night like an animal, howling at night. And another reference says that he would take rocks and he would cut himself. So not only is he seized of the demon powers, he howls and then he cuts himself. He was kept under guard, this scripture says, verse 29, kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. But he was so powerful and so strong because of this demonic influence that he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. That's where they send him. See, it appears to me that this man is just about to the end. The demon powers have such power over him that he is to the place where he's howling, he's cutting himself, he's living in the tombs, he's an outcast from society, he has so much power, he breaks chains and shackles, and it looks like to me that the demons are just about finished with him and they will drive him to his death. So Jesus is on a rescue mission. He is on a rescue mission to deliver a man from demonic power. And how many know Jesus can do that? Amen? This is really a story about change. It's a story about how God can change a person. It's how God can take someone as deep as this man was and change him and put him in his right mind, because that's what Jesus can do. Hallelujah. And that's really what the gospel is about, isn't it? It's about change. How many of you are different than before you accepted the Lord? Amen? You may not have been in this man's condition, but you are different today because Jesus changes lives. Praise God. Gives us something to live for. Makes changes in our lives. But this is a desperate, desperate case. Look at verse 30. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? Jesus is speaking now, not to the man, but he's speaking directly to the demonic forces inside of him. And he said, what is your name? And the demons responded, Legion. That's our name. Our name is Legion. And then they explain why they are called legion. Because many demons had entered into him. It's the reason they're called legion. In this day, a complete Roman legion, when it was fully staffed, was 6,000 men. 6,000 men comprised a Roman legion. And if we take that number and look at this man and say, how many demons did he have? The demon said, there's 6,000 of us in here. That's incredible to me. 6,000. And that's what 6,000 can do to a man. Never make this mistake. Hell is not understaffed. But never make this mistake. It is no match for the power of heaven. Hallelujah. No match for the power of Jesus Christ. See, maybe the demon thought if we can give a big number, if we can just really show him how many, maybe we'll scare Jesus off. Jesus was not going to be scared off at all. Jesus isn't fazed by it. But instead, after naming themselves, the demon starts looking for a way out. Verse 31. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. See, the demons know very well that their eventual home is the lake of fire that burns forever and ever, the bottomless pit. They know that. They're not there yet, but they're headed that way. And what they said to Jesus is, please don't send us to the abyss before our time. We know where they're going to end up. The book of Revelation tells us where they're going to end up, right? But don't send us there before our time. Verse 32, now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. And when those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. Look at what happens. These demons that are in this man now are cast out by the power of Jesus. 6,000 demons run into the pigs, and what a man could contain for a while, those pigs couldn't stand at all, and they ran over the cliff and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. Sorry, no pork chops for dinner tonight. The pigs are gone. They're dead. It just shows you the power of the demonic. The power of the demonic. Make no mistake about it, my friends. Demon powers are real. And you may be here today, and I said this in first service as well. You may say, Pastor, we're too educated for this kind of stuff. We've really grown. The demon stuff ended in the dark centuries, the dark times, and of the Middle Ages and the photo, they don't exist today. No, my friend, the Bible is clear on this. The devil exists and he is real and he has demon powers under his control. But don't make any mistake about it. The Christian who is filled with the power of God has greater power over them than the devil has over us. Amen. And if you are possessed of the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer, if you have Jesus in your heart, you cannot be demon-possessed. They may get out here trying to bother you, but they can't be inside of you because the Holy Spirit's inside of you. We have power over the enemy. Hallelujah. And the demons believe and tremble. That's what the book of James says. That the demons believe and tremble. And I've shared with you before, that word tremble is a Greek word that literally means their hair stands on end. So what we know of demons is they are hairy little dudes. And their hair stands on end when they think of Jesus and the power of Jesus. That ought to give us great, great comfort knowing there's no evil can befall us, but what through Jesus' name we can overcome it. Amen? Amen. We live in a day where people are too sophisticated, I suppose, to believe in demon powers. And maybe even someone here today might be thinking, Pastor, why are you spending time on this? This is so archaic. Well, it's not archaic. I've seen the work of the demonic in Guatemala. I've seen it in Africa. I've seen it in our nation. I won't take time to tell you the stories, but I have seen situations very similar to this one right here in third world countries, but I've seen it even in America. The problem with America is that it seems like they are clandestine in their attempts to pervert and to try to do their things. You see, demons know no borders. Demons don't go, well, we can make it in South America, but we can't go to America. They could care less about America. They could care less about Europe. They could care less about the Middle East. Demons are in this world, and their task is to try to destroy God's work. But in the end, we know who wins. The book of Revelation tells us for sure that all the powers of hell are not going to prevail, but Jesus Christ will prevail, and they will be gone one of these days. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So we don't fear them. No, we don't fear them. And so we read on in verse 35. Then they went out to see what had happened, the villagers. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed. Look at this. They found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. How many know that's a miracle? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. He is grateful for what Jesus has done for him. He's got clothes on. Does that tell us something? Amen? He's got clothes on. And thirdly, he's in his right mind, indicating that what we have seen up till now, up to his deliverance, he was out of his mind. That's the power of the demonic. But now he's in his right mind. He's carrying on a conversation. He has clothes on. He's been delivered. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He is worshiping the Lord. And when they saw this, the villagers were afraid. Verse 36, they also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed, was healed. And then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes, this is one of the saddest things you'll read in the Bible, they asked Jesus to leave. Leave, Jesus. Leave. For they were seized with great fear, and Jesus got into the boat and returned. He honored their request. He honored their request. He left. How sad. Verse 38, now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. Jesus, can I go with you? I don't have anywhere to go. People know me here. I have a reputation. I've got the scars of the cutting all over me. They know me as the man of the tombs, the howler. I have no place here. Take me with you, Jesus. But Jesus says no. Jesus says no. Look at verse 39. He says, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. You go be an evangelist. You go and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I've got better plans for this area of the Gadarenes, and you can be the key. There's going to come a revival in this area someday, and you're going to be a key because you're going to plant the seeds of that revival, because people are going to see what God can really do when lives are turned over to Him. Amen? So you go be an evangelist. And he went his way, verse 39, and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. He just started being an evangelist. Isn't that our role as believers? None of you, none of us, probably we haven't been in this condition, but I'll tell you this, we have all been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Look at with me, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and then we'll come back to our text. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It'll be on the screen as well, but if you have your Bibles, you might want to look it up. It's a familiar passage, but I want to read it this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? new creation or new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. That's what happened to this man. Old things passed away. Everything is now new for him. He is a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's what happens when we give our hearts to Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. We call that salvation. Jesus forgives us, delivers us, brings us out of bondage, and gives us new life, new hope, new strength, etc. And then if you skip to verse 20, it says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So now that you've been changed, you're a new creature, you go be an ambassador. Be an ambassador. Be an evangelist. And tell people about the good things of God. Let them know what God can do. Now we go back to our text in Luke, and that's exactly what this man did. He was changed, he was new, and now he is an evangelist. The man from the Gadarenes, that's how we know him, the man from the Gadarenes. We've described him already, what a pitiful case he was, what a pitiful case. I think sometimes it's difficult for us to get a real grasp of his serious condition because most people have never seen anybody quite like this. Some have, but others haven't. And it's hard for us to grasp this image of someone howling at midnight, living in the cemetery, cutting themselves, breaking chains. It's something out of the fantasy world. It's hard for us. And yet, my friends, let's all understand when God looks at sin, he doesn't look at this man worse than any of the rest of us. If we are a sinner, we all need saved. Amen? We all need saved, every one of us. But I'm a good person, Pastor. I'm a good person. I don't howl at night. Well, maybe once, but I'm sure we are all are good people. But if we're not born again, if we haven't given our lives to Jesus, we're just in the same condition as this guy. Maybe not physically as bad, but we're lost without Jesus. How many know it's great to be saved? Amen? Amen. That we belong to the Lord. And then the demon power that was demonstrated. We read that here. I have no reservations in knowing that demon power is real, and it can manifest itself in a number of different ways. But I do know that the power of Jesus Christ is even greater. It's even greater. I wish I had time to tell you a few stories. I don't, but I do want you to know that God is greater. When I was in high school, which is many, many years ago, but I remember one class we had, someone brought a Ouija board to class. And they were using it. And it was telling them all kinds of stuff. And I was 17 and three quarters stupid. I'll admit it. But I loved the Lord. And I saw him doing this Ouija board, and I saw it answering things, and I got so infuriated. I don't recommend anybody do this, but I did, because I was three quarters stupid. I said, "Let me try." And someone in there knew I was a Christian, and their jaw dropped, and they said, "But you're a Christian." I said, "Yeah, that's the reason I want you to let me try." And to the whole class, I said, "I'm going to prove to you this thing is demonic inspired." "Oh, that's nice." I said, "No, I'm going to prove it to you." So they brought it over to my table, and I put my fingers on it with others. I don't recommend you do this, but I did. And the first thing I asked it, I said, "What is your name?" And it answered, spelled out, "Red Dragon," or demon, or something like that. I said, "Are you afraid of the power of Jesus that is within me right now. And I kid you not, that thing began to shake. It began to shake as it spelled out Y-E-S. And these students are just looking on. And I said, that's exactly what I thought. And I took my fingers off and I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus. And I command that you never, ever, ever work again. In Jesus' name. And some kid grabbed it and he said, that won't work. And they began to try and it was all messed up. They said, am I a man or a woman? It said, a dog. And it just began to answer crazy stuff. And I said, the best thing you can do with that thing is to burn it, is to throw it away. So obviously, if you got a Ouija board, if I were you, I'd get rid of that thing. But I just was so infuriated that the demons were just operating that I wanted those kids to know. And because of that, a couple of those kids, one at least I know of for sure, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God. I don't recommend you do that. Unless you're stupid. And I guess that's not a good word. Cheryl would be mad. She's at home sick today. Sorry, sweetheart. I've got her on FaceTime. I am in big trouble. I forgot. The devil knows you have authority in Jesus' name. And that Jesus can change things. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, from chained to changed, that was this man. He was all wrapped up in chains, and then he was changed by the power of God. And then he became an evangelist. But we still don't know his name. What shall we call this man? Maybe we can call him Mr. Changed. That would apply. Bob, that applies to you. You're Mr. Changed. God changed you. Amen. Peggy, you're married to Mr. Changed. You're Mrs. Changed. Amen. Because of what God can do. Yeah. Trevor, Mr. Changed. Amen. Yeah. We could call him that. That would be accurate. But I think maybe I want to call him something else. I think his first name ought to be amazing, because this is an amazing story. It's an amazing story. So I'll call you Amazing. What's your name, sir? Amazing. Oh, that seems a little pompous to me. What is your name? I'm Amazing. Boy, is he a braggart. Well, wait. You've got to know my last name. What shall we call him? I heard someone say it. Grace. Why don't we call him Mr. Amazing Grace? Would that fit? Sure it would. Ephesians chapter 2. You that were dead in trespasses and sin, has he not made us born again? And by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Jesus created this man not to be a vessel for demons. He created him to reflect the glory of God. And Jesus took that trip across Lake Galilee to make sure he returned to his original purpose, and that was to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and to reflect the glory of Jesus. He is Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. And I love that name because it could apply to any of us. John, we could change your name to Mr. Amazing Grace. You're married. To Mrs. Amazing Grace. Amen. I was going to tease her, but I won't. Amazing Grace. Rick, you could be called Mr. Amazing Grace. Amen. Amen. Mr. Amazing Grace. All of us. Because it is by grace that we are saved through faith. Amen. Amazing Grace. Nice to meet you. Tell me your story. Well, how much time do you have? I got 6,000 reasons why I'm an Amazing Grace. this man. What's his name? We don't know. Let's call him Amazing Grace. Why? Because Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Doesn't that describe all of us today? Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together, please, and sing it again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's our story, and that's this man's story, and it's true today, as true as it was yesterday, and it'll be true tomorrow, that if we need changed, Jesus can change us. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for amazing grace. I thank you for this tremendous story of amazing grace. I thank you for the people sitting in this audience this morning, and I think of the different stories represented here. And if we had all afternoon, we could bring them up one by one, and they could tell their stories, and it would be thrilling to hear the story of how God changed them one from one thing to another. That's amazing grace. Lord, even with some today who, as Sharina prayed earlier, Lord, going through some tough things right now, it will be amazing grace that gets them through. It's amazing, this grace that comes from God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the power you've given the believers to pray, to stand against the evil of our day, to stand against demonic influences that come our way, to stand against the lies of the enemy, to stand against, Lord, fear, to stand against those things that would battle us. Lord, thank you for amazing grace. Thank you for amazing grace. Now go with us today, Lord, as we go about our different activities. Whatever those things might be, Lord, help us to walk in amazing grace. Help us to walk in amazing grace. And let that grace give us the ability and the strength to do whatever it is we need to do today and tomorrow and the next day and the next. Thank you for amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank the Lord for it today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Thanks for coming. If we don't see you before, see you next Sunday in God's house. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord today. God bless you.